Thank you very much. He's been working on that for quite a while and did a good job. We had him audition and everything. So, well, it won't be long now. So what we're looking forward to is the time when the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible. And when those trumpets sound, all the world will see the return of Jesus Christ. It says every eye will see. And we are looking forward to that time, looking forward to it very much, when the pain, when the troubles, when trials will begin to be erased, because the beginning of the millennium will begin. And next Sabbath will be a holy day, which will be trumpets, which talks about that time of the return of Jesus Christ. Again, that time that much of the world looks forward to, and few fully understand the implications of it. But what do the trumpets mean for us now? Indeed, we should and will focus on the future prophetic events that are going to be occurring when those trumpets blow. But what about trumpets for us now? Leviticus chapter 23, of course, is the standby scripture for the holy days. And Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23 says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. Don't do any servile work, and offer an offering made by fire. Well, the children of Israel kept trumpets for years. The Jews, still, the faithful Jews, keep the day of trumpets to some degree today. But what do the trumpets mean for you sitting here now, between the time that we are living and the time Jesus Christ returns, when those trumpets will blow and the plagues will occur, and then the final return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the first fruits? Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51 is actually introducing atonement. But when you study the scriptures, you see the holy days blend and tie in together. They lead one to another. They're not separate individual days with individual significance, but they blend together to make God's plan. Isaiah 58 verse 1 shows us a major principle that God is trying to get across to us on what it means to keep holy days, keep trumpets, atonement, the upcoming days that are going to be occurring. Isaiah 58 verse 1 says, cry aloud and spare not, and lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. And it uses the trumpet to typify a voice shouting God's word, proclaiming something that God wants us to take note of, because it's shouted, as with a trumpet. Now, those of you that have alarm clocks, of course, now they have alarm clocks that they kind of soft music and that type of thing. But when I was in, I first went to Ambassador College, my first night there in Big Sandy in 1968, I showed up and I was sleeping on a bottom bunk, and the senior guy was on the top bunk, Garvin Green, if you, any of you remember him. And his alarm went off at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I wasn't used to alarms going off at 6 in the morning. And boy, I woke up. It was an alarm that woke me up. Well, that's the sound of the trumpet, an alarm to wake people up. The New Living Translation in Isaiah 58 verse 1 says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people of Israel their sins. the Day of Trumpets is not just about the return of Jesus Christ and all of the events that are going to lead up to that. The events are about what we need to be doing. The trumpet is about what you and I need to be doing, what God wants the world to do, and how God wants the world to react to those trumpets. Isaiah chapter 18. Isaiah chapter 18. In verse 3, Isaiah 18, verse 3, the New Living Translation says, "All you people of the world, everyone who lives on the earth." And so, in principle, this is addressing every person. Now, you are part of every person. You have a special understanding and calling now that others don't. So this is applying to you even more than every person. We'll see other scriptures that show us that. It says, "All you people of the world, everyone who lives on the earth, when I raise my battle flag on the mountain, look. And when I blow the ram's horn, listen." So when I talk about the trumpets, he said, I'm not just into music. That's not what it's all about. It's not that just God does love music, but it's not about music. It's about an alarm that he wants us to listen. So when I blow the ram's horn, listen. So on the first day of the seventh month, the trumpet blast sounded from the temple, calling everyone together for a reason. The trumpet call had several reasons. There's quite a bit of significance to it. I want to just review some of that today. The trumpet was a call to repent. It was a distinctive message to get the hearts and the minds of people to repent. Now we say, well, isn't that what Passover is about? Isn't that what the days of unleavened bread are about? Yes, it is. Now there's a reflection. I kind of started work on a sermon showing the reflection of the spring holy days and the fall holy days, and there's definitely a parallel between them also. So this is a call for the world to repent. But again, what about us today? Acts chapter 3. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Notice there's a series of events that have to happen before Christ returns. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, it says, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord." It says God is going to bring a time of refreshing. And certainly as we look around at this dying world today, we know that in so many areas of the world, in so many lives, we need a refreshing. We need something new other than what we've got now. And verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached to you, whom the heaven must receive till the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." First comes repentance from those that God will call to repent. And so repentance comes first. So the trumpet that blows before the return of Christ to you and to me is being blown now, and it's a call to repentance. Just as much as when those trumpets blow and the plagues start coming, and just as he was speaking to those today, he's speaking to you. Understand that in this present time, in the age in which God has called us, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. When did you first believe? You know, for some of you, it was back in the 60s or 70s, or maybe you were called in the 80s or 90s or the 2000s or whatever. But whenever you were called, it's later now than it was then. And there's a call, there's a sound to wake up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, known as the resurrection chapter. In verse 34, he's speaking of the resurrection that we need to make of ourselves right now. The English Standard Version in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34 says, "Wake up from your drunken stupor as is right, and do not go on sinning." It says when we're straying, when we're getting lax, when we're letting the truth go, when we're not applying ourselves, when we're kind of going into a false sense of security that we're okay, we're kind of in a drunken stupor, deceiving ourselves into thinking that, hey, we're doing all right. He says, He says, "Wake up from your drunken stupor as is right, and don't go on sinning." It's an alarm. Ephesians chapter 5, this trumpet, the day of trumpets, and when you observe that next Sabbath, when you're there at 10:30 in the morning listening to messages about what's going to happen and what God's plan is, remember it's to you today, not just about somebody else in the future. Ephesians 5 and verse 14, English Standard Version again says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." It's not talking about someone who breathed their last breath of life. It's talking about someone who's about to breathe their last breath of spiritual life. A little girl this morning, the spirit of the breath went out of her, just as much as when people are dying spiritually, the Holy Spirit begins to leave them and it's about to expire. And he's saying right now, perform a little CPR. Let's get that spiritual breath going back again. And that is the call of the trumpet. Verse 15, "Look carefully when then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." There's a reason that we need to be alert. There's a reason we need to listen to the sound of the trumpet. "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." God's will is that we wake up. Matthew 25, familiar to most true Christians. Matthew 25, verse 1, he says, "The kingdom of God and those that are going to be in it, it's like this." And since we are going to be in the kingdom of God, we're part of his family. This is talking to you, and it's talking to me, and it's talking to all through time who are in danger of losing that spiritual breath. Matthew 25, verse 1, "And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Now, what does God like in the event when that last trumpet blows? He likes Christ's return, and he is the groom, and the bride goes to meet the groom. And so this is, again, a reference to the time when Christ returns, when the trumpets blow. And it says, "And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." But notice verse 5, "And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." So it's a call that as time goes on, and if you've been around the church for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, chances are that first love isn't as hot as what it once was. And we tend to sleep spiritually. And I would have to say it's probably across the board, because it says here that they all slumbered and slept. And Matthew 25, verse 6, New Living Translation says, at midnight they were roused by the shout. And remember, we looked at Isaiah 58, verse 1. It says, with a shout of the trumpet. The voice as of a trumpet. And so here's this shout as a trumpet. It says, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. And are we ready for that? We have a chance to wake up. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. In chapter 51 and 52, there are three specific calls to wake up. And let's look at those calls to wake up and apply that to each of us today. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 7 says, listen to me, you that know righteousness. Hopefully, that's talking to you. And if you know righteousness, if God has called you and he's opened your mind and he's brought you before his presence spiritually, then this is talking to you. And he says, listen to me, you that know righteousness, the people whose heart is my law. You know, when you minister talked to you and said, have you repented of your sins? And say, what sins? Well, sins of breaking God's law. Your heart holds God's law within you, and you want to do his will. And he's giving us a message here. So listen to me, you that know righteousness, the people whose heart is my law. Fear you not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. You don't have to fear men, but you have to fear God, who can take away the breath and any possibility of resurrection. Now, verse 9 of Isaiah 51 says, awake, awake, and put on strength. And so this is a call to awaken. It's like that trumpet blows that awakes people of God up. O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days and the generations of old. And another translation is, awake as in days gone by. I think this might put you in mind of Revelation. You keep your place there in Isaiah. But Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We'll be going into these in some detail here over the next several months. But notice what he says in verse 4 of Revelation 2. The New Living Translation says, but I have this complaint against you. And these are the churches. And these churches display attitudes that any of us can have. And that probably at one time in your Christian life or the other do have. And he says here, I have a complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. You know, the cry in Isaiah 51 was to go back to the ancient times. Go back to the first love. Get stirred up. And remember, verse 5 says, look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. And so, back in Isaiah chapter 51, when it says, awake, as in the days gone by. It's a time of thinking. The time between trumpets and atonement specifically is a time of review of who we are. It's kind of like a Passover self-examination to see where we are. We see where the world is. We see what the world's needs are. What about you? What about me? Back to Isaiah chapter 51. keep your place in Revelation. We're going to turn there in a moment if you haven't lost it already. Chapter 51 and verse 17, another call to awake. It says, "Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. You have drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out." One translation is, "Awake, rise up, get up, quit laying there as in a dead stupor spiritually. You got to move. And I want this alarm, I want the trumpet to be in your ears, that if you're just laying there dying, that you allow God to resuscitate you and bring you back spiritually." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Revelation 3 and verse 1. Again, speaking to one of the churches. An attitude, an era. They all apply. The International Version, Revelation 3 verse 1 says, "The angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead." You got a reputation of being alive. You know, do you have a reputation of being alive? You know, oh, they go to church every Sabbath. You know, they go to the feast. They've got a reputation for being alive. Are you alive? Or are you dead or dying? Have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. It says, "Wake up! Strengthen that which remains and is about to die." We're given a call to wake up. Awaken. Stand up before God and stand in righteousness. Back to Isaiah, now chapter 52 and verse 1. Isaiah 52 verse 1 says, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city." And we're told to wake up and put on spiritual garments. Get dressed, because we may be lying there naked before God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. Revelation 3:18, another attitude, that of the Laodiceans. Revelation 3:18, English Standard Version says, "I counsel you to buy of me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness not be seen." You need to clothe yourselves. You need to get dressed spiritually. Get up. Don't just lie there or lay there, whichever you're supposed to be doing. Verse 19, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent." And the call of the trumpet is a reproof. It's a loud shout. Lift up your voice. Show my people their sins. Why? So they might repent. So that we might stay on track. So we might not be sleeping before God spiritually. And you have to judge yourself in relation to that. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. You know, when God tells us there's significance in the trumpets, and then he talks about the trumpets, we need to listen. And he says, "Awake, put on your garments of splendor." Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness." You know, it's not going to be just dressing yourself. We're kind of like spiritually a little kid that needs help getting dressed. and that our parents have to provide the clothing. And God has to provide our clothing and our righteousness because we're not big enough to do it on our own. But we need to get up and get dressed. The trumpets and the blowing of the trumpets was also a call to prepare. Commonly among the Jews, the day from trumpets to atonement, that 10 days, is a day of national cleansing. It's a day of thought. It's a day of preparing for what they call the most important day of the year, atonement. That's because on atonement, if you're familiar with Leviticus chapter 16, is a time that the priest went through, and then all the sins of Israel were passed over by God at that time, and it was the day of their cleansing. And there was a preparation day involved. And so between next Sabbath, the day of trumpets, and the day of atonement, a 10-day day of preparation. You might give thought and prayer to that and preparing your own self as the world is going to have to be prepared also. There are two different kinds of trumpets. One of the trumpets was a ram's horn called the shofar. Was the primary trumpet used for Israel. It was a reminder of God's intervention for Isaac. When you look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 13, Genesis 22 and verse 13, we know that God had asked Abraham to be willing to sacrifice his son, to give all for following him, to be willing to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, even your own life also. And in Genesis chapter 22, I'm in Exodus, that's why that doesn't work. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 13. It says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And so here was the ram, his horns caught, and the ram then was sacrificed instead of Isaac. And of course, that sacrifice typifies the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. And so when that ram's horn is blown, it's a reminder that God gives salvation. And for us, we understand that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. And so we remember that to be clothed, we need that sacrifice of Christ. With the fulfillment of trumpets for the church, it's a call to repentance and a reminder of Christ's sacrifice for our sins and his substitute offering for our sins, because we're worthy of death and he died for us. Turn to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, the ram's horn was one of the ram, one of the horns. Other times the horn that was blown was trumpets made of silver. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make you two trumpets of silver, a whole piece you shall make them. A couple of interesting things. Numbers chapter 10, verse 8 says, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Now, the priesthood took up that role of blowing the trumpets for Israel through their generations. But to begin with, it was done by Aaron and his sons. If you recall how many sons Aaron had, he had four sons. Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. You don't have to turn over there, but it lists Eleazar and whatever those other guys were. And so there were five of them. And those five were the ones responsible for blowing the trumpets. And I believe that it's typical, and I think there's a good principle here, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Keep your place in Numbers if you haven't lost it already. Now, the things that God did, the types, the symbolisms, they all have meaning for us today. They weren't just empty rituals. But notice here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, English Standard Version, and notice these different individuals that God gave, or these gifts that God gave, these offices, as it were. And he said, and he gave the apostles 1, the prophets 2, the evangelists 3, the pastors 4, and the teachers 5. And so there are basically 5 types of people that help God's people. And as Aaron and his 4 sons blew the trumpets in order to help Israel to draw close to God, so he has the church, and he has people that help people. And I think the 5, Aaron and his sons, were typical of people bring us together. That's why we come and listen to sermons, and we have Bible studies, and we talk to each other, because we're to help each other to bring us into unity of the Word of God. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 10, and let's look at some of these distinctive messages that are sounded and see again how it might apply to you and to me today. Numbers chapter 10, verse 2 says, make you 2 trumpets of silver that you may use them for the calling of the assembly. So the trumpet was blown to call to assembly. Now the trumpets are blowing for you and for me today. And what else does God say about the assembly? Psalm chapter 50 and verse 5. Keep your place in Numbers. Mark it somehow because we'll be back there for the rest of this message. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse 5. Psalm 50 and verse 5 says, gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You made a covenant with God at your baptism. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Have you repented of your sins? And as a result of that, then you went down in the water, your sins were washed away, and you had the laying on of hands for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brought you into one body, the body of Christ. So when it says, gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, God wants us gathered together. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, you can't help but be drawn to this section of Scripture. And with the trumpets were blown so that people would gather in assembly. And God has commanded assemblies. And when you look at Leviticus chapter 23, it talks about the Sabbath being a commanded assembly. It talks about the holy days being commanded assemblies. He doesn't want us scattered. He doesn't want us separate from one another. He wants us to be one with one another. And so that's why he has us gather on the Sabbath instead of, you know, be off in a mountain somewhere. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, let's come near to God with a sincere heart and sure faith. This is where to draw close to God. And, of course, it's your relationship with God that is the most important of relationships. You will not make it into the kingdom on anybody else's coat sleeve. It doesn't depend on the ministry or your husband or wife or your neighbor or your father or mother. It is your own salvation, but it tells us to come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. Now, in that coming near to God, it involves more than just your personal relationship with God. Because verse 24 of Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. There's kind of a a directive to blow that trumpet in each other's ears. You know, when you see somebody that seems to be slipping away or sleeping, he said it's okay to blow that trumpet in their ear spiritually and have them to help them to wake up as a friend, as a brother in Christ. Verse 25, and specifically, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, in Israel, when that horn blew, and it was a call to assembly, I don't see where they were given, you don't really have to come. You know, you can stay and sleep in if you'd like. There is a call to assembly that God gives, and I think that's part of the stirring up and a part of the sound that he's giving to us. It applies to us today. It says, but exhorting one another. There again, you blow that trumpet in somebody's ear and say, hey, missed you. So much the more as you see the day approaching, as you look for that time when that trumpet blows, if we haven't listened to the trumpet now, by the time the trumpet blows, it'll be too late. It's not like, well, you got to sleep through all of those trumpet blows while you were called and a member, and now we'll let you in at the last minute, you know, because this trumpet blows. That's God's decision, and there are those who will, through the tribulation, end up repenting and coming back, but I don't think we want to be in that circumstance. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 10. Sometime the trumpet was sounded for the calling of the assembly. There are different trumpet calls, not one horn fits all. This was a number of different things that they want us to get from it. God wants us to get from it. Verse 4 says, but if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto you. Sometimes it was a blow so that the leaders would gather. Okay, the horn went off. That was just for the leaders. That was just for the ones that are over the thousands or the tens or hundreds or whatever job they had. It was just for the few that sometime that would go off. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. Hosea, Joel, Amos. It says, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? We should listen when the sound goes off. It says, there's a calamity in a city. Will not the Lord have done it? And then it says, verse 7, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Well, God shows his leaders first, and then he expands it to the thousands. This is a special call for his leaders first. Now, when we understand that God has the first fruits that are called in his plan first. You are the ones that he's going to use to call the thousands that'll come later. And so there's a call to assembly for you, the leaders. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. You know, when that final trumpet blasts, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, what happens? Who is called to assembly? When Jesus Christ returns and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, is just everybody going to rise up? No. Just a few. Just the ones that will be over, the thousands. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. And I think you understand and have seen the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15 and here that when the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians talks about that the dead in Christ will rise first. over such a second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. So we have a trumpet blast going off to the leaders in God's plan, and that's you. And he's giving you understanding. And he's giving you enough of an understanding to be able to qualify for that. You may not understand, and you probably will not, until it happens, understand every bit of prophecy that goes on, but God will reveal to you what you need to know to be a part of his kingdom. And so that trumpet is going off, and I think we need to be listening to that now. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2, another reason the trumpet went off. At the last part of verse 2, it says, a calling the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. When Israel was in the wilderness, they stayed in a place for a while, and then it was time to go, and that cloud would start to move, and the trumpet would blow to call people to order to leave. And verse 5 says, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie in the east part shall go forward. Verse 6, when you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. We are on a journey. We are spiritually the church in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you've been around the church for any length of time, I think one thing you've discovered is that the church is not static. The church today, although we have the same beliefs, we have the same understanding of God's plan, is not the same as it was in 1960 when my parents were called, or 1972 when you were called, or 1986, or 1995. The church moves, and we have to follow God. Again, it's not the changing of doctrine, but things are dynamic. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, he says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago, and all of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on dry ground, in the cloud and in the sea, and all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. And that cloud, as they were wandering through the wilderness, would move on different occasions, and he had to follow that, because if he stayed back, he'd probably die in the wilderness. You know, and we go through changes in life. We go through difficulties. We go through personal changes in our lives, but we must still focus on the cloud. We must still focus on God. And whenever it came time to journey, that trumpet would sound. And they had to be alert to the trumpet so they could follow the cloud that was Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and all of them ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual water, for they drank of that spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. It says verse 5, yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Because he said, follow me. Follow this way. Do my commands. And the trumpet was not just a call to move, but to follow the cloud, to follow the rock. And those that didn't died. Verse 6, these things happened as a warning to us, so we would not crave evil things as they did. There's a trumpet warning that says, look, follow God. Don't get your eyes off from the cloud or the pillar of fire. Don't get sidetracked. And when it comes time to do something different, to do God's will, then be ready to move. Unlike Israel, we need to be willing to follow wherever God leads and listen for that trumpet call that calls us to do so. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. In wartime, the trumpets would blow to bring them together to fight against the enemy, and that God would deliver. I don't think we've lost that on what that means to us, is that Satan is our enemy. And we need to follow God to fight the enemy and to unite together. I don't see a time in Israel when they just, everybody went his own way and said, well, I think I'll fight this way and I'll fight that way, until they started rejecting God. But when they drew together and heard the call and followed the alarm to do what they were told to do by God, then God would save them, as God will save us. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers in high places. This is the battle that we're fighting. Ezekiel chapter 33, I won't, due to time, read that, but read Ezekiel chapter 33, and it talks about the messenger sounding the alarm and blowing the trumpet when the enemy is coming, and to warn the people. And we need to be sounding that trumpet, and we need to be listening for that message so that we will be delivered from the enemy. And only God can do that. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. Numbers 10 and verse 10. And all the day of your gladness, also, you blow the trumpet in the day of your gladness and your solemn days, in the beginnings of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and the sacrifices and peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, as you recall from Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, it says you blow trumpets because trumpets is a memorial. The trumpets were blown on the feast days to announce the fall festival, all of the festivals. Psalm chapter 47, verse 5. Psalm 47, verse 5. And of course, we understand that these festivals represent God's plan, and it keeps us alert to what God is doing and what our role is and what our part in these days is and part our, and in God's plan is. And it should keep us awake. It should keep us alert. Psalm 47 and verse 5 says, God has ascended amidst shouts of joy, and the Lord amidst the sounding of trumpets. God is going to bring his kingdom to this earth with the sound of the trumpets. We need to be listening to the sound of those trumpets. We need to be focused on God's feast days as they picture God's plan and what your part, what my part is in this plan for mankind. But we have to listen. At camp a few years ago, Mr. Weber introduced me to the most wonderful thing in one of these dorms where all the guys sleep, and that is earplugs. And I actually put those earplugs in. I could not hear the snoring that was going on, that was rattling the walls here. Well, we can't have spiritual earplugs. We've got to take the plugs out of our ears and listen for the sound of the trumpets. We go to Revelation, and with each of the churches, it says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to the sound of the trumpets. Just a couple of scriptures, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And verse 22. says there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. You know, the Bible calls the return of Christ and the resurrections a mystery. Behold, a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be resurrected. You know, and all don't understand it, again, in the way that God has given us an understanding, but nothing is hid which shall not be manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but it should not come abroad. The trumpets will blow, and all the world will know, and all the world will understand. But it says in verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 24, he said to them, take heed what you hear. You don't just want to be listening to any old thing. You got to listen to the Word of God. You got to listen to God's true servants and God's true Word. It says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. You know, the trumpet's going off now. And hopefully it's going off in your ears. And if you're understanding, it says more is going to be given to you. The more you listen, the more God shows you what His plan is. You stop listening, He takes that away. Verse 25, he that has, to him it shall be given. To him that has not, to him it will be taken away, even that which he has. So if you know and you understand, God will give you more understanding if you're listening. If you're shutting it off, if you're not hearing, if you're not applying, even that will be taken away from you. A corollary scripture in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And verse 18. It says here, take heed therefore how you hear. The other scripture said, take heed what you hear. It says, take heed how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. Whoever has not, from him it shall be taken away, even that which he seems to have. The marginal reference here in my King James Bible says, even that which he thinks he has. Kind of reminds me of Sardis, where it says you seem to be alive but are dead. And the real question is, do you seem to have? Do you sit here reading this and appear to be awake but are asleep? You have to be listening to the sounds of the trumpet and then doing something with it when you hear it. Whether the world knows it or not, it desperately needs the sound of the last trumpet, ushering in the return of Jesus Christ. We have had our ears open to the sound of the trumpet now. And the question to each of us individually is, do you hear the sounds of the trumpet? And what will you do with it?
Well, thank you, Mr. Scriber. Sorry to hear about your